Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Big day here on the podcast. We're going to talk to one of my favorite guests, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. I think that you could search far and wide across the Old North State. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who has the, well, I guess integrity is the word that I'm looking for, of Lieutenant Governor Forrest. I think he is a person that, I don't think he's so much a politician as he's a person in politics who stands by what he believes, no matter what the storm is that's raging. He's not going to bend his will or his convictions to the pressures of leftists or the media or, you know, things that come against him or what he believes. He's just not going to do it. He's going to stand tall, stand strong, and I, for one, appreciate that. I wish we had more people like Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest in our General Assembly. That's my personal commentary. And looking forward to talking with him today. We'll talk about his thoughts on President Trump and his first couple of weeks. We're going to talk about the various marches that we've seen lately and the stark contrast between the Women's March and the March for Life. He went to the National Prayer Breakfast. I would love to go to that sometime and find out about that. And also the latest on HB2. As we know, old Roy Williams, coach over at Carolina, he had a couple of things to say about that after yesterday's game. So we're going to dive into all that with our guest, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, here on What Matters in North Carolina. It's always a pleasure to welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina, a good friend of our program, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. Welcome back, sir.
Mark, it's great to be with you today.
Well, I have to say I was a little jealous. You went to the National Prayer Breakfast. How was that?
It was great. You know, the spirit about the place was great. I think people were very excited. The speakers at the breakfast did an awesome job. The Senate chaplain was phenomenal, and it was just a good experience all around. And you know, usually it's when you go up to the prayer breakfast, it's kind of all the sidebar relationships you make, meeting people from all over the world who come together kind of under a common flag. And it was just a nice place to be for a couple of days.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, speaking of coming together, we saw a couple of different gatherings of people, primarily women, over the last couple of weeks, and there was a glaring difference, Lieutenant Governor, between just the outright vulgarity that we saw at the Women's March and the civility and the tone that was much more deferential and compassionate and loving at the March for Life. It's really quite a stark contrast.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that everybody saw the imagery there, you know, and the things that they chose to say and the imagery they chose to uplift to associate the women's movement with, I thought was shocking, for one. I thought it was pretty sad, actually. But interestingly enough, if you kind of went out and looked at comments out there, there were groups of women who were not conservative women who were saying, this is not me. Yeah. This isn't who I am. Please don't identify me with your vulgarity. You know, there were signs. One particular that stood out to me was this couple ladies walking, holding a big banner that said, you know, if Mary would have had an abortion, none of this would have happened.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that there's certain lines that you really just shouldn't cross. And
yeah.
That's one. But, you know, this was about that entire march related to the Women's March was about 50 different issues. It wasn't about one. And then you saw, in contrast, immediately following the March for Life, which was very peaceful, very loving, none of the same types of symbolisms and language used. And so that was certainly far more a refreshing approach of how it should be done.
What's interesting to me, Lieutenant Governor, is I feel like if you're just regular folks, these protests are really not for you because the people that show up are just so vulgar. And I can't imagine, like, you know, some folks I know are Democrats and liberals, and I can't imagine any of them getting out there with their children, you know, and dressing up like women's parts and all this kind of stuff. It's like the it's like the regular folks really aren't being represented, yet the media tries to portray it as such, and it's really
And I think, you know, again, it's about those lines that get crossed too, right? I mean, like you just mentioned, they bring children in, so there's children walking around and holding up these signs with vulgar language on them, and that's sad. And yeah, there's no doubt, Mark, that doesn't represent America. That doesn't represent the majority of Americans by any means. This is a small segment, a small portion of our country that is extreme in nature, and that is not what most women identify with.
Yeah, no, I saw one where this mother, you know, she looked like she was beaming from ear to ear, and her kid was holding a sign that had a, you know, an F-bomb on it, and I thought, you know, you really, what kind of parent are you, you know? It was really depressing and sad to see, because these kids have no idea that they're being used, you know, to portray such horrid stuff. Well, on a more uplifting note, the General Assembly's in session, and is it getting started slower than usual, or do we say this every 2 years that it's getting started slower than usual?
I don't know. I don't know that it's starting more slowly. I think it's starting maybe a little more under control. You know, in the past, there's a, you know, I think you and I have mentioned this before, but certainly a lot of pent-up anxiety over the last handful of years, you know, leading up with the 140 years where Republicans weren't in control.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pent-up anxiety, a lot of bills to get passed, both local bills and public bills. And a lot of work to do on the budget, a lot of work to do on tax reform. So I think there was a much more of a frenzy over the last 4 years to get some things done. I think it's just more reasons now. I think, you know, in changing some of the rules, at least in the Senate, we changed starting times for session to later in the afternoon to make sure that the committees had all the time they really needed to meet leading up to that. And so there's still plenty of work being done. I wouldn't say anything's moving slow if you're a member of the House or the Senate. I would just say that right now they're doing their work in committee. And then, yeah, with a frenzy, I would imagine in the next couple weeks you're going to see a lot of activity on the floor.
Our guest, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, always a pleasure to have here on What Matters in North Carolina. Now, HB2 has reared its ugly head again. We saw Coach Roy Williams had some snarky things to say yesterday after their game. And now the NCAA has indicated that there's possibly going to be the loss of more championships. Senator Berger issued a statement Friday saying that HB2, quote, would have been long gone if Governor Roy Cooper had not directed all Senate Democrats to block its repeal, and he is going to have to work toward a compromise to move past this distraction.
Well, first, you're going to have to tell me what the Coach Williams said, because I haven't heard that. So what did he say?
Well, he said something like this, dadgum bill. You know how he is. He is not in favor of the HB2 at all, and I think Coach Krzyzewski has also made his feelings known about that. But in terms of the repeal, do you think that's going to go anywhere? Because last time we talked, it seemed like it might have been dead in the water, and now it seems like it's just something that's talked about a lot.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to continue to be talked about because it's the kind of national news in a sense. I think certainly the pressure's on Governor Cooper now to figure out how to come up with a compromise. I mean, if that's what they want. If that's what they're looking for, then you're really going to have to figure out how to draw a ceasefire from the other side. It's not the members of the House and the Senate here that, you know, they've said, listen, if you guys just walk away and say everything's going to go back to the way it was before, then fine, we'll do away with it. But that's not the way that any of this has worked out. You've had all the leftist organizations come out and say, we're going to pass the Charlotte Ordinance in every city in North Carolina as soon as HB2 is struck down. That's what was going on the other side of the negotiation table before. So there's not a live and let live kind of mentality here. There is destroy the law in North Carolina and let us run freely and do whatever we want. And that's not the way it's going to be. So as far as I'm concerned, I've kind of drawn, I've drawn my line in the sand and said, first of all, there's no room for men in women's bathrooms or girls' locker rooms or showers or anything else. And I don't think that line should ever be crossed. So I personally don't think there's anything wrong with it just because the leftists don't like it, and just because the Democrats on the back row don't like it, and just because the liberals and colleges and universities and the NCAA and the ACC, who are only just leftovers that are, these former professors that are liberal too, just because they don't like it doesn't mean it's not a good bill, and doesn't mean it doesn't protect people. So if Governor Cooper can figure out how to work a compromise with his side, who really needs to draw back and say, no, we're not going to go roll these extreme ordinances out across the state, then I think there's some hope to reset as they said they want to do to begin with. But if not, then I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I found the Roy Williams coach. He said, I'm glad we were able to take a game here, meaning in Greensboro yesterday, because of that stupid rule that we have in our state that took a lot of great opportunities for people in our state and great athletes that like to do things in our state. I shouldn't say rule. I guess it's a law. I think it's just ridiculous what it's doing to our state and the reputation of our state. So, overall.
Yeah, I mean, then, if he was, wasn't getting fed the liberal line that it was HB2 that did that, but it was the city of Charlotte and the mayor of Charlotte and Charlotte's ordinance, that's what everybody needs to focus on. And unfortunately, the media doesn't want to do that. They want to focus on the bill that was passed to protect the law. As the law should be protected in the state of North Carolina, to keep men out of women's bathrooms. So there's not a price tag we're going to put on that. I've said that a million times. We're not going to put a price tag on the heads of little girls and locker rooms and showers and bathrooms just because somebody wants to play a ball game somewhere in North Carolina and they feel like they're losing money for it. Sorry, but I'm not going to play that game.
Well, I respect you a great deal as I insert a little personal commentary here. And thank you for your stalwart stand on this issue, Lieutenant Governor. I wish we had, ever how many hundred or so in the House and all of the senators with as much resolute conviction that we wouldn't even be talking about repeal under any circumstances here, in my opinion. Moving on, your thoughts on the first couple of weeks of the Trump administration. Do you like what you see so far?
So far, so good. I think things are moving at a pretty rapid clip. I think that they're slowing down probably where they need to slow down. And but I think, I think we talked about last time the appointments for the agencies and departments have been great. I've been very pleased with who he's decided to surround himself with to lead the agencies up there. So I think that's good. I think that certainly jumping out of the gate with trying to get a fix and a repeal and a replacement for Obamacare, that's not an overnight solution. So I think that that's still going to take a little time. I'm hoping that they will really turn their attention back to the states and getting that out of the federal hands as much as possible and let the states do what they need to do. And I think that's going to take a little bit of time to do that and probably put some pressure on us as well. Certainly, I like the focus on issues of protecting our border and dealing with foreign policy and the way a president should deal with foreign policy. So he's trying to regain the strength and composure of America, and I think he's doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, it's really kind of almost like somebody on social media likened it to kids having to take their medicine or something, because there's been so much that's been ill and sick and needing in repair in our country that, he's the guy with the big spoon and the cough syrup in his hand, and a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah.
So
no,
your thoughts on Betsy DeVos, a big supporter of school choice. I know that you are, for education.
Yeah. I think Betsy's going to be great. I think having, for the first time, as far as I know, having a real strong school choice advocate in the Department of Education is going to be good. I plan on spending a decent amount of time with Mrs. DeVos and figuring out how we can work together here in the state of North Carolina to give parents more choices in education and give students more opportunity through that choice. So I think she's going to be great. And I think she's not, people lift it up as school choice is her only thing. It's not. She's done a lot of good for education around this country for a lot of years. So She's no dummy. She's not new to this by any means, and I think she is going to break down some barriers that have existed out there related to traditional public school and other opportunities related to choice.
What was interesting, Lieutenant Governor, is I had former Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. June Atkinson, on the show a week or so ago, and really vigorous in her opposition to school choice in the face of the demand for school choice, not only nationally, but particularly here in North Carolina, just surging. I mean, parents want options for their kids, and yet those that are opposed to it, they just seem like they don't want to, you know, step into the present-day realities that the current public school system might need to look at this as an opportunity to scratch their heads and say, maybe we're not doing everything we can for our kids, but instead they just want to be critical. And I think that's the wrong approach. They need to realize that something's not working with the traditional system.
Yeah, if all was well with traditional public schools all over the state, you wouldn't see the percentages of parents that you do in your own polls that y'all have done that suggest that parents are demanding this. I think it is one of the top reasons that that our former superintendent doesn't have her job anymore. You know, she was there for many, many, many years. And so people are saying, listen, fix it. Let's get this thing fixed. This is about our kids and about their future. And why would you not allow a parent to choose what is best for their child? I just don't understand that, Mark. I will never understand that. I don't know why some bureaucrat or some politician somewhere thinks that they know best what is in the best interest of that child, more so than a parent does. I don't get that. And so I don't know why they think there's no accountability when the parent is actually making the choice for their child.
Well, I think you said it. They think they know what's best, and that's part of the problem. So back to Trump on other matters. President Trump has nominated Judge Neil Gorsuch to the United States Supreme Court. Should he be confirmed, might this help North Carolina if the Supreme Court turns out to be less inclined to judicial activism? Is that something that might could flow down to, for example, the Fourth Circuit and get them to stop, you know, trying to pass every law in North Carolina?
No doubt. There's no doubt that shoring up the Supreme Court and giving a majority of that Supreme Court helps. There's no doubt that he's a strict constitutionalist. There's a lot of issues that we're facing today that he's never ruled on. So I think that you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen with some of these rulings because there's no history there. But we do know that he's a strict constitutionalist.
Yeah.
So certainly when the state of North Carolina passes a law that's constitutional for for us to do that, the assumption would be that Judge Gorsuch is going to be on our side and say, no, this is a matter of the states. And that's really what you want them to do. You want them to look at the Constitution and determine if we're acting within the realm of our given responsibility as a state legislature. So that is the hope. And I think things will only bode well for us in the future related to him being on the court.
And finally, on a somewhat humorous note, Lieutenant Governor, last week we saw Senator Kravick make some comments on social media, people sending lard to her office. We saw the insurance commissioner, Causey, said something, had to apologize. And then we saw Representative Speciale saying, yeah, I said it, I meant it, and, you know, deal with it. And so your thoughts on social media, because your social media seems to always be very carefully vetted, and you make sure that, you know, you're not out there getting yourself in trouble. So these snafus, how do these legislators – what do they need to do to avoid this stuff? Just stay off of it altogether, or?
No, I don't think you can stay off of it, Mark. I think you have to, you have to use it to your advantage to get your message out. But I think what you do is you stay away from any kind of personal attacks or characterizations of any kind. You just don't need to do that. You know, I mean, I've been doing this now for a handful of years, and you know, we're very clear that we never attack an opponent. We never say anything about an opponent. We don't need to name anybody by name. We don't need to mention President Obama. You don't need these kind of things. And so even when it's about protesters, I think you can talk about an ideology. You can talk about what you believe and how you believe is different and why something is wrong without making any kind of personal association in relation to that. And I think that's where the danger is you kind of get emotional in this and you get heated and you see something and you want to respond real quickly and you have this means to do it, but you forget that the whole world is going to see it.
Yeah,
and it's there forever. And yeah. Once you've done it, you've done it, and the damage is done. Even if you meant what you said, you know, even if what you said is correct, there is a way to do it, and unfortunately, most people have to learn that lesson the hard way.
Yeah, once you hint send, you can't undo that. So,
that's right.
Lieutenant Governor Forrest, we appreciate, as always, your time, your candor, and the excellent job that you're doing for North Carolina. Thank you very much, sir, for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Mark. It was great talking to you. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Bye-bye. Well, I wish I had 20, 30, 40 more minutes to go with Lieutenant Governor Forrest. His schedule, obviously, very busy, but we appreciate the time that he is with us here on What Matters in North Carolina, and I am sure that you enjoyed our time with him as well. Please let others know that they can click on the interview with Lieutenant Governor Forrest at freedomactionnetwork.com. They can listen to it right there, or they can download it onto their computer or their phone, and they can also find us in the iTunes and Google Play stores as well. And this would be a good interview, a good time to tell people, hey, check out What Matters in North Carolina, because I really appreciate the candor and the frankness of Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, and especially when it came to HB2. You know, I'm not going to change what I believe because of a game. I mean, wow. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, and we appreciate him standing strong on some of these issues, and wow. What if we had more politicians like that? Things would certainly be different, wouldn't they? Well, we certainly appreciate you listening to the program. It's always a pleasure to have you as our listening audience, and we know that we don't take you for granted. We're doing our very, very best, working very hard to bring you the best guests possible, the best content possible that you can find anywhere. You can just click and go, wow, I am up to date. I know what's going on. Because this is your one-stop destination for the things that matter in North Carolina. I've been mentioning frequently of late, with the General Assembly underway, where are you going to get the best information possible about what's going on? Well, right here, of course, between myself and Matt Calder, who's our producer, also works very diligently at nccapitalconnection.com. We are dialed in, folks, to the General Assembly and what's going over there. So you can listen to the podcast. You can read nccapitalconnection.com, and you will be one of the most well-informed people in the state. So we appreciate it, and we're working hard to bring you the very best. Well, thank you very much for listening. Hope that you have a great rest of the day. And until next time, my name is Mark Scheiber. Thanks for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.